Glorious God, our loving Father, we humbly pray now, because our boast is always and only in you, that what we have, which we have not received, the apostle asks us, and he says, if you've received it, why then do you boast as though it's your own? He also says, far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of Christ, by which I've been crucified to the world and the world to me. That's where we are, God. We boast in you. We boast in Jesus. We boast in the Word of God. We boast in the Holy Spirit. We boast in God our Father. Hallelujah. And we pray that your Word, O God, inspired, infallible, inerrant, will now be the rule of our lives as it's preached in truth and allegiance to this written Word. We pray the Holy Spirit to so anoint us and empower us that you, O Spirit of the living God, are new breath within us, and you guide us and define this time. And Lord Jesus, we pray you be glorified. And Father, we are asking truly that the glory of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be the most passionate, joyous, happy, savoring delight of our lives. Through Christ we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Well, here we have this wonderful text, which happens to be the password to our church site, which I've now told over the whole world, huh? I think we're safe. I think Matthew 28, and wonderful passage, 18 through 20 in particular. And Jesus came and said to them, to us, all authority in heaven, all authority on earth has been given to me. How much? All. And here we are. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. The text here breaks down very, very functionally and conveniently into three basic sermonic thrusts or punches for us. Number one, you have Christ's loving and lofty claim. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Number two, you have his loving last command. Go, therefore. Y'all, yins, as Pittsburghers would say, yins, go and make disciples of everybody. And so you've got then at the end his loving, what I'm going to call ever-present comfort. Lo, I am with you, or behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And those are the three areas that we'll look at today in worshiping God with the preached word, his loving, lofty claim, his loving last command, his loving, all-present comfort. And these work together. These are inextricably connected to give you and to give to me an understanding of who is Jesus in this passage. Pardon me. And what does Jesus have to do with the world in this passage by virtue of you and me? And what does Jesus have to do with us in this passage? Three good questions that connect with these three points that I've already cited for you. So each of these three, you know, the lofty claim, the last command, the loving comfort, they're breathtaking in their monumental scope as we think about them, as we let them get into our hearts and souls this day. They call us to know something about Jesus, as I say, to respond to Christ, to take hold of Christ's words into the world. So we'll take all three in order, and as they're presented to us in this passage, and thereby, hopefully, as we take them in that order, we'll honor the very Word of God itself in its divine self-disclosure as the divine word in human words. 1, 2, 3. Just as God has presented, 1, 2, 3. We're going to salute that and humbly honor that and bow before it in the very formation and structure of this sermon to the glory of God. First then, the loving claim, the loving, lofty claim. Is how lofty can you get? Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and all authority on earth has been given to me. It doesn't get much loftier than that. Simply put, Jesus is claiming that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Now, by this time in Matthew's gospel, we've already been apprised and informed clearly that Jesus has died for your sin and mine. He died to triumph over our guilt and our condemnation. By now we know in Matthew's gospel that Jesus has been raised from the dead to triumph over our suffering and death. And in triumphing over your guilt and your condemnation and over your suffering and your death, Jesus has also triumphed over Satan, who can only try to destroy you and me with the guilt of our sin and try to torment us under the supposed hopelessness of suffering and death. But what's going on here in Matthew 28:18 is this: that just because Jesus has triumphed so gloriously over the Christian's guilt and our condemnation and our suffering and death, and because Jesus has triumphed over Satan at the cross and the resurrection, therefore Philippians 2:9-11 comes into play. Quote, the word of God, please hear it with your heart and soul, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it doesn't get any better than that, and it doesn't get any loftier than that, which is just another way of saying all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Now, how far does that go? Christian, church, let me just say this before telling you how far it goes. Don't settle here for anything less than everything. All authority. Don't settle here for just getting by on this. No, all authority to Jesus. Don't accept so-so for the rest of your Christian life on this. All authority in heaven and earth. We should be tired of shooting too low here. We should raise the bar here. Just enough anymore is not enough on this. Because why? I ain't settling for anything less than everything on the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has authority then over Satan and all demons, and over all angels, and over the natural universe, and over natural objects, and over all laws and all forces. But let's get a little more particular than that. Jesus has authority over all stars, and over all planets, galaxies, meteorites, and shooting stars up there in the night sky. Jesus, your Savior and Lord, has authority over all weather systems. Winds, rains, lightning, thunder, hurricanes, tornadoes, monsoons, typhoons, and cyclones. Authority over all of their effects, too. Tidal waves, floods, fires. No, we're talking all authority over all molecular and atomic reality. Atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, undiscovered subatomic particles, quantum physics, genetic structure, DNA, chromosomes, for you geeks out there. Jesus has authority over all planets and all plants, all animals, great and small, whales and redwoods, giant squid and giant oaks, all fish, all wild beasts, all salmon that you fish for, all invisible animals and plants, bacteria, viruses, parasites, germs, and dare I say it, COVID-19. Jesus, having all authority given him in heaven and earth, has authority over all parts and functions of your human body. Every beat of your heart, every breath of your diaphragm, every electrical jump across the million synapses in your brains and the thousands in mine, if you get my drift. Authority over all nations and governments, congresses and legislatures, and presidents and kings and premiers and courts and Russia and the United States of America. Authority over all nations, armies, governments, congresses, legislatures, I said that, weapons, bombs, terrorists, authority over all 9/11s, authority over all industry, all businesses, all finance, all currency, all cryptocurrency, all Bitcoin. Jesus has authority over all entertainment and all amusement and all leisure and all media, all Hallmark Hall of Fame, all ESPN, all CNN. Authority over all education and research and science and discovery. I ain't settling for anything less than everything. Are you? Over all crime and violence, Jesus in having authority over heaven and earth has it over all families and neighborhoods, over the church, and over every soul, and over every moment of every life that has ever been lived on the face of this earth. And so Robinson Crusoe says in Friday, to His Man Friday, in answer to His Man Friday's question, if Jesus has all authority over earth, why is this a mess like this, and why isn't it where evil is done away with? And Robinson Crusoe's answer was, it will be done away with. We must draw a circle called all around Christ's words. All authority is given to me. These words are given to you and me as the lofty claim, the lofty loving claim that lifts us off the territory of fear and trembling and trepidation and puts starch in your collar or backbone or iron in your backbone where being a Christian in this world is concerned. It is like a hot air balloon in a sense. I've never done a hot air balloon flight, but I was talking to my wife this morning, driving over here, and I asked, did you ever go on a hot air balloon? And she did, and she shared with me about the hot air balloon, and don't anybody make any references to my preaching, please. And she noted that it's beautiful because you're lifted up into a quiet and a serenity. But then the flame comes on and there's this whoosh sound to keep everything afloat, which I liken to, don't you, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our quiet lives and in our lifted lives. But you look down on the earth and you see so much. And through the authority of Christ, we see so much more than when we denude ourselves of that authority. And Jan noted that it's not like an airplane because you're so much closer. And she noted that there aren't any wheels in landing. I don't know what to do with that. No, of course I do. God has our landing. God has everything about us in this call to live for His glory. But we are buoyed up, and I'd like to put that as a single picture here. Under this wondrous, loving, lofty claim of Christ when He says all authority in heaven and earth is given me. This is the resurrected Savior. You see, there is nothing in heaven and nothing on earth that can hold down the authority of Christ. And that authority of Christ is watching over you and me. And we'll get to that in a moment. But there's nothing in heaven and on earth. There's nothing over which Christ does not have the right and the power to do what He pleases. We're not just talking the right. You know, we're talking the power. That's authority divine. The scope and the magnitude of the authority of your Savior, Jesus, is infinite. Why is it infinite? And my words and my listings only begin to babble and stammer about the infinite capacity of the extensive greatness and magnitude, limitless, of the authority of Christ. And it is infinite because why? Jesus, your Savior, is one with God the Father. God the Father has given Jesus all authority, not because the Father gives up being God, but because Jesus, your Savior, is God. And when deity shares infinite authority with deity, he neither loses nor gains anything, but remains infinitely full and infinitely triumphant and infinitely all-sufficient and all-glorious, infinitely all-powerful and infinitely all-authoritative. This is the divine backing, the divine lifting of your Christian life with the lofty claim of Jesus. We need to know this. For the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, for the courage of mission, we need to be lifted by this recognition that your Lord and Savior and Redeemer and your best friend, your bestie, I don't mean that in any belittling way, of Jesus, by the name of Jesus Christ, has all authority in heaven and earth because your Lord Jesus is God Almighty. So please, with me, hear the word of God to you on this Mother's Day and every day, and may the Holy Spirit grant that we not doubt, like some did in verse 17. Remember, I read it? And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. That's what we're doing. But it says the word of God, some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Let us not doubt, but let us go and make disciples. And that's the second point of the sermon, the loving last command. Now we know technically it's not the last command because the word of God written is the word of Jesus Christ, and we've got the epistles, and we got, praise God, the book of Revelation that we're hanging in there with, you know. But here in the gospel, it's the last command. It's the loving last command that your Savior gives to you. And he says to you, get out there and go. Go, go, go. And make disciples. On what basis? You've been lifted up by the lofty claim. All authority is his. He's the one that's backing you. Wonderful, isn't it, how God breathes through Matthew to give us the inerrant divine word in human words, because this loving last command is built on the loving lofty claim. That's who we are. Go therefore, make disciples. And you see, the command comes with a therefore. And you know as I do that when you read the Bible and you see a therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. What's that therefore there for? And that's what we're doing. It's therefore because all authority, hallelujah, it's in your Savior's hands. Ain't nobody gonna pull it out of your Savior's hands. No way, no how. So Jesus gives you this command. Not to throw you out on your ears and make you, be swallowed up by a challenging cancel culture kind of world out there, but know so that you know he's there with you in his authority. It's on the basis of Christ's undefeatable claim and on the basis of his comprehensive claim to all authority that he dispatches you and me. And he answers the question of what does he have to do with this world? What does he want us to do with this world? We just saw who is Jesus, all authority in this case, this passage. But what's he want to do with his world? What's he have to do with this place in which we live? And what's he have to do with you? We're supposed to make disciples. But we need somehow to be lifted out of the muck and the mire and the pull gravitational whatever of this culture that seems to cut us off at the knees. I feel that way. You probably do at times too. I think of the port of Eritrea in northern Africa, World War II, the Axis, the enemy armies, wanted to shut down the port of Eritrea. It was so that no supplies could reach in the battles for the people, the allies on the land. And they brought gigantic barges, and they blew up the barges in terms of holes so that the barges would sink in the port, the bay of Eritrea. And they did. And they were gigantic barges, and it shut down the supply line. And they couldn't, how do you get those barges out of there? Well, someone came up with the idea of taking the old gigantic oil tanks and sealing them as they were empty and just lying around anyway. And they soldered them shut, and they hooked them up by massive chains to these massive sunken barges that were stuck in the mire and the muck and the mud and couldn't possibly move. When the tide was out, they hooked them up. And when the tide came in, those barges just lifted right out by themselves, and they basically just pushed them out to sea. And that was that, and the port was open, and the rest is history, of course. I see that along with the hot air balloon as a wonderful picture, a word picture for the power of a lofty claim and the last command. How can we do that? We need to be lifted by Christ's own words and ways. There is not a culture or an ethnic group or society or religion or language where Jesus does not have the right to be worshipped as Lord. Discipleship of others exists because worship by those others doesn't exist in their hearts and minds. Our mission is always to have the right emphasis. Remember, the emphasis on the wrong syllable is when you think you're going out there to make a disciple for the sake of that disciple just being saved. No, you're making disciples so they become co-glorifiers and co-enjoyers of God along with us. And Christ lifts us up to that beauty. Christ has authority to be King and Lord and Savior everywhere, to everyone. And this is his glory known, and it is to be joyfully experienced. This is the reason he commands you to make disciples of all the peoples in all the world, and that they will become, as we say, worshipers of God with us, and experience the meaning of their lives, the reason for being, to enjoy the wonders of God. The authority and supremacy of Jesus over every other religion and all cultures and all societies and over all little gods is the basis of our local mission as Roslyn Presbyterian Church to make disciples under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, who alone can turn anyone's heart from darkness to light. Jesus Christ, the living, all-authoritative Lord of the universe, has commanded you and me to call every person lovingly, yeah, tenderly, graciously, call every nation, every people group, Nilotes, Oromo, Shona, Somali, you name it, every single religion, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, animist, Hare Krishna, to repent and to believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins and the inheritance of eternal life with the one true God. Jesus commanded you and me to go and make disciples among every people. Your Christian faith is a missionary faith. It is a faith that has to be filled with evangelism. We aim to make disciples in every group and build up the church among every people. We do not spread our faith by war or by violence, but by the proclamation of the great news and the persuasion and the demonstration of our love in God, in the power of the Spirit, and under the sovereign authority of Jesus Christ, who says, go, 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 go. Listen to him. John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting that I would not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. It's spiritual power in which we go. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the word of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They are spiritual weapons, church. We make disciples with God's truth and sacred prayer and holy love and God-glorifying sacrifice, not with swords or bullets or bombs. In Luke 10:3, Jesus said, go. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. That's our culture. And Jesus sends you out now and sends me out now, but he doesn't send you out alone. Isn't that grand? I will be with you always to the end of the age. Someone should put those words to melody, to music. Maybe I'll do it for you now. Maybe I won't. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Hear the word of God with your heart, your mind, and your soul. Verse 20, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who's saying that? The one who makes the loving, lofty claim. The one who gives the loving last command. He's the one that now is certifying you, stamping. It's done. It's real. This loving, ever-present comfort. I want to use the word omnipresent. Omni, you know, means all. Present means present. Omnipresent comfort. This is an omnipresent comfort. You don't go anywhere. You don't do nothing. You don't fall on your face or trip along the sidewalk without the reality of this constant givenness of Christ being with you. He is God, so he can do it. Point number three, loving comfort of Christ the Lord. First, there was the lofty claim. I mentioned that. Second, the last command, go therefore now. Third, this ever-present comfort. Behold. Behold means now hear this. This is your captain speaking. I am coming over the intercom of the ship of life. Or if you want to say it, I'm coming over the intercom of the air balloon, hot air balloon, or whatever. This is your captain speaking. I'm with you always. So break it down. What's going on in this third point? One, identification. Two, continuation. Three, duration. By identification, I simply mean, see who it is that gives this comfort to you and me. It's the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. You, O Christian man, you, O Christian woman, you, O Christian mama, on Mother's Day, I plead with us all that we will please plead with God to open our eyes to what this means for each of us and for the church. This Jesus, with all authority over every enemy, all authority over every disease, all authority over every calamity and every futility, promises to be with you. Oh, the preciousness of the new covenant truth bought for us by the blood of Jesus. Jeremiah 31:33, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Jeremiah 32:40, and I will not turn away from them, from doing them good. Romans 8:28, I will work everything together for your good. Isaiah 41:10, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, so that you and I can face the worst threats and say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17, everyone has deserted me, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength. I love it. I don't always experience it, but it is true, true, true. Because who speaks it? The one who has all authority in heaven and earth. Not just identification. This is who says this, but continuation. How often we have to leave each other. How often separation comes. We have felt that in the loss. Gordon's no longer here. Now he's in heaven, and we're in that sense communion. But here is the unbroken continuation of this divine loving comfort of your Savior. Behold, I am with you always. The Greek literally means all the days. By continuation, Christ means without break. The all-powerful, all-ruling Christ does not take breaks from his promise of always being with you. 13:5 in Hebrews, Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you know the poetry, though he giveth, from the hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father, though he giveth or he taketh, God his children never forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. That's identification, that's continuation. And then I said, the third aspect of this opening of the verse, lo, I'm with you always, is simply duration. To the end of the age. To the end of the age. Christ doesn't say, okay, I'll be with you till you're a teenager. And doesn't say, well, now that you've reached 50, I'm out of here. Now that you've reached 73, I'm gone. I was with you for a while. No. With you always. Not only is there no break in the continuation, there's no end to the duration in this world. As long as the world lasts, Jesus will be with us in this world. And this, then, is the loving comfort. The one who has put all enemies under his feet. And Jesus, who has died for us and risen for us and triumphed over sin and guilt and condemnation and suffering and death and Satan. And Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, this is the one who comforts you by promising that he will be with you continually to the end of the age to do you good and to bring you safely into everlasting joy and face-to-face fellowship with him for all eternity. Amen. And so it's much bigger than a hot air balloon, isn't it? Much bigger than the Hindenburg. And of course, unlike the Hindenburg, it will never flame out. The only flame that we know is the fire of the Holy Spirit to bring this home to us. The loving, lofty claim. The loving last command. The loving comfort. All authority. Go make disciples. I'm with you. So what do you make out of all that? I got to conclude, I know. What do you make out of all that? What are you going to do about that? Wouldn't you say, at minimum, that what is clear from this final word of our Lord and King and Master and Prophet and Priest, Jesus Christ, is that he is trying to move us to act? Remember the old joke about the pastor that preached the sermon against apathy and ignorance? And the two guys were going out afterwards, and the one guy said to the other, did you understand what the guy said? And the other guy said, no, I had no idea. And the other guy said, yeah, and me, I don't care. Apathy and ignorance. Well, why did I tell that joke? Okay. I'll act. Yes, thank you. Good thing my wife is here. Act. Christ wants us, don't you think? Or as Gibbs would say on NCIS, you think? He wants us to act. God help us to actually act. Now is the time to respond with this encouragement. So my prayer, and let it be our prayer for each of us, every one of us, is that we'll take this next step of engagement in God glorifying, God entranced, God enjoying living out of Matthew 28, 16 through 20. If we take a baby step, okay. You take a giant step, marvelous. But by all means, let's take a step and then keep on walking. I'm walking, yes, indeed. And I'm talking about the Lord and me, and I'm hoping that he'll come back real soon, sang Fats Domino with a few words changed. And I want to end then on the song that we sang. And change it from the first person plural or the may we to the second person singular. And here it is. May you be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of Christ's name. May his pure light shine through you. May you bring a word of hope to the nations, a word of life to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows their salvation through Christ's name. May his mercy flow through you. And then the last verse, well, third verse, may you be a healing balm to the nations, a healing balm to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows the power of Christ's name. May his healing flow through you. And now the last one, turn it to God. May your kingdom come to the nations, your will be done in the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. May your kingdom come in us. May your kingdom come in us. May your kingdom come on earth. To the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we sing our hymn of Jesus Saves, Lord, make it our response, not just in congregational worship of a great ancient old hymn, but Lord, in our actions this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this word from Matthew as he's recorded it. Amen.